Blog Talk Radio.
Nalindilele pakumfwa kamangu kababemba kalila.
Through this song, I remember and celebrate the life of Zambia's unsung heroes. I remember Robinson Puta, Titus Mukupo, Lawrence Katilongu, Michael Chileshe, Patu Simoko, Timi Mvula, Teddy Chilambe, Spox Chola, Brian Chiwangu, Godfrey Chitalu, Alex Chola, and the unnamed mothers, daughters, and sisters that have inspired us all for the greater good of this country. So hear me out.
Radio on this Saturday morning out of Dallas, Texas. Good evening for those who are in
the
Asian
the life of Zambia's
world.
Heroes.
Sorry about that. Those that are in Asia and other parts of the world, good afternoon, Europe. Good evening in Zambia. Well, there is a lot of political activity. I won't use the word drama. There's a lot of political activity in Zambia, which has attracted and drawn a lot of attention, and particularly with what is going on in the ruling Patriotic Front and Zambia's largest political opposition party, which is MMD. And we thought that, well, let's get to the bottom of this thing and talk to some people that understand and have been engaged, and particularly looking at the political parties, constitutions, and then see if whatever things are happening are in line with their constitutional values of the individual political parties and so forth and so on. So we thought of inviting one of our good friends, a regular on this show. We value his input, his analysis, his views. Smarter is not a stranger to this forum and to the Zambian community. He is joining us from Lusaka to sort of give us an overview of what is going on over there, especially that is on the ground. Smarter, good evening and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio.
Thank you for inviting me. Good evening.
You are welcome, my friend. It's always a joy to have you on this forum and to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. I hope we can share some thoughts.
How is Lusaka today, by the way? Has anybody's head been cut off or what? Everything okay?
Well, we are trying to get on with our lives, but today we got an announcement that the acting president of the republic and the president of the PF has suspended the 16 members of the Central Committee who disobeyed his order not to have a meeting last night. And some of the prominent people suspended Inonge Wina, chairman, William Sanda, Jane Kapata. So we are wondering how that will unfold. And they have also called for a Central Committee meeting tomorrow at State House.
Okay.
The other day, Guy Scott himself was suspended by the Central Committee.
Hey, interesting. There is a joke on Facebook. You know, if you remember Oprah Winfrey show, when you'd give out things and you'd say, you get a car, you get a car. So somebody has put up something by Oprah Winfrey on Facebook saying, you are suspended, you are suspended, you are suspended. So okay, Smarta, let's begin. The first question I want to ask you is that you can correct me if my information is not correct. At one time, you worked closely with late President Mike Osaka, and I don't think I'd be wrong to assume that you were probably amongst the founding people of PF. You can correct that information. My question is, what were your impressions of him as a person, one, and as a leader, and why did you go your separate ways?
Firstly, I'm not one of the founding fathers of PF. PF was born in, 5 years earlier than I joined it.
Okay.
I actually joined the PF in 2005 at the invitation of the late Michael Sapp. We met accidentally outside my bank. He happened to be a customer. So he approached me and but I greeted him. I said, oh, good morning, Mr. President. And he said, why are you not in the boat? So I talked to him and I said, what boat? Where would I be sailing? I mean, I'm on land.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. So I said to him, you mean a patriotic front? I don't know what you stand for. You should give me a copy of your constitution and a copy of your manifesto. Let me read it and see whether I can make up my mind. And lo and behold, actually, the following day, the constitution and the manifesto arrived at my office. So I read through both documents and I got convinced that PF was worth trying, you know, and PF was worth joining, and PF was worth building. So from 2005, I identified myself as a member of the PF. I left in 2010, 8 days later. I had the privilege of serving under his appointment as a central committee member and also as chairman of elections. And I did preside over the 2006 election. I also presided over the 2008 presidential election.
Why did you leave PF?
It's a cocktail of reasons. Some of which I'd rather keep quiet about now that he's no longer around to defend himself. And also, it will not be fair for me to talk about him. But there are a couple of issues that I can talk about. After about 5 years of service in the party, I got concerned about its funding, particularly one element around the Zambian economy began to play a predominant role in funding the PF. It was done very secretly, but I got to find out. And I was very uncomfortable. I said to myself, no, we are going to the going to bed with the devil, you know. That really icked me. Second, it was a matter of personal.
Nathan, can you hear us?
Okay, no. Smart has dropped, and I thought, first of all, I thought, you can reconnect him as we get ourselves together here. Priscilla, good morning. Dr. Munsanje, good morning.
Good morning. I can hear you clearly.
Thank you. Zebra, good morning. Welcome back. Okay. Good morning,
Nathan. How are you?
Doing okay. All right, everybody listening, we're talking to Smarta. We'll be getting into the nitty-gritties. I just wanted everybody to I wanted him to say what he has said so that we understand that he's speaking from a position of having been there and worked with the late President Michael Sata. He's not just speaking from the abstract. That's the reason I'm asking him these historical questions so that you understand. I know Smata in a way that probably most of the audience might not know him. So the information that I might have, and the reason I've brought him to discuss, is that I want everybody to be on the same page so that we understand when he's talking from, where he's talking from. I know he hasn't said much. Priscilla, you wanted to weigh in on the little he has said? Or you want to wait?
No, I'll wait.
You wait. Okay. Matilda, just let me know when Smata gets connected.
Nathan, it's telling me that the destination is busy. So let me try again. I'll let you know once I'm through, once I'm on.
Okay, excellent. Dr. Munsanje?
No, let me wait first.
No. I'm not going to ask you about what Smata said or anything. Okay, let me go. Zebra, you heard the comment that I made on Roger's segment. I said that every country has got its own political drama. It's just that it presents itself in a different way. That's my position on what is going on in Zambia. I don't know what your response to that comment would be.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. You know, it's just that ours is different from many of our, you know, even here, the political drama is going on right now. You know what I'm saying? So It's just that it's different on due to cultural differences, of course, and, you know, economic differences and kind of stuff, you know. But, yeah, it looks like, you know, the smarter guy on the interview right now is interesting, and it looks like, you know, he has some information that... That is quite interesting, and I'm also, you know, I'm curious to if you can elaborate more of exactly, you know, what was going on there. You know, it's kind of like an interesting debate so far, and I can't wait to have him back.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm going to get into specifics with him now. We're going to get down to the issues of PF, MMD, and all those things, and. And hear what he has to say on some of those matters.
Mr. Smata is back on the line, Nathan.
Okay, Smata, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I want to ask him to align.
Okay, so much. Somebody's not. All right, let me get to this question. In my view, the race for the party president in the PF, Smata, to me, it's just a reflection of two democracy in comparison to FTJ single-handedly hand-picking Mwanawasa. I don't know what your response would be to that comment.
Very true, very true. When I began to see men floating and everybody trying to vie to take over from the late His Excellency Michael Chibuzakata, I said to myself, wow, it appears there's a lot of courage now. And also that people are taking their democratic rights to the ultimate. I did. I mean, the alternative, like you say, and I agree with you, The MMD situation at FTJ's time was probably very sad. Because it is generally what I found here in Africa, Zambia in particular. We like to mix democracy, for instance, with rulership or chieftainship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have words like chosen, we have words like... and I think
anointed.
Also sometimes we become religious. We have words like anointed. democracy, after me, I have those kind of things. The other day when I heard someone say, no, once I want to take over and continue my contract has been read back. I said to myself, God, I mean, if, can you imagine at the time the late John F. Kennedy was killed, somebody said, no, we want someone to take over from John F. Kennedy to finish his legacy. I mean, the Americans would have said, where are you from?
There is no, you see, that's a very funny phenomenon that we have developed or sort of come up with in Zambia to do with the legacy of the person, the legacy of the person. It brings me to this question. What is your position on Dr. Kaseva's decision to contest?
Well, it's a democratic right, Lassan. I think she has got right to declare a candidate at any time. But is it her moral right to go ahead and do that? Is it her traditional right? Remember, I've already said that here in Africa we like to mix things. So morally, traditionally, everybody that I've been listening to is attacking. And then I also said to myself, what if it was in the reverse? Away and her husband was, she was the president and passed away, and her husband now says, I'd like to stand for president. I don't think there would have been such a halabaloo. The only problem is that it's also, there's a bit of sexism, you know, in this whole thing. So it's all right, but given the environment in which she wants to operate, I think she was not wise.
Okay. So I don't even want to dwell so much on this thing. Where do you weigh in the so-called, there's this argument of saying she's supposed to mourn her husband. I mean, help us on the cultural aspects matter. Where, okay, somebody amfwa, in English they would say cleansing after the husband dies. I don't know how long that is supposed to take. Where do all those things fall into place? Is she misguided or what?
Well, you see, I'm saying that it's all right to do that, but this man is looking at her different. Now, let's really take it out from politics. Let's assume the husband was the managing director of the company, and then he dies. And then the widow after the burial says, the board met, they've appointed me managing director. Would there be a fuss? Would that be an issue? I mean, I remember a couple of years ago also, one bishop died locally. And the wife took over. I mean, not so much halabaloo. So I think they are being unfair to Christians. That's my view. I think they are being unfair to Christian.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
The point is, there's a time limit. She's only got a couple of days, and the elections are in now 60 days plus.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. I don't know whether my colleagues of Codin want to pursue that question or not. I want us to hit a lot of points here, but in a very limited short of time, and allow questions. Turning to the situation in the MMD, isn't the party constitution clear about who contests for the Republican presidency's matter? I mean, should the issue of adopting a candidate...
That is an inherent problem in all the parties. These parties, for some reason, had the wisdom of writing constitutions.
Mm-hmm.
But thereafter, they have not proceeded to write bylaws or regulations or procedures. So you find there's a lot of gaps in these constitutions. For instance, the MMD constitution talks about the party president. It does not talk about the Republican president or what happens when it is going to be a Republican president, except to use the precedent. For instance, when Chiluwa would go to elections, he would be given a certificate approved by the NEC. And then, if you remember, Chiluwa's terms came to an end. Then he woke up Levi Mwanawasa to take over from him. The NEC had to again endorse that and give Levi Mwanawasa a document. But when you go into the rules, there are too many gaps, not just in the MMB. They are there in PF and all these other parties. You know, I marvel. I really marvel because these parties are endowed with a lot of learned people, even state councils. But yet they do not sit down to say, listen, this is our constitution. Now let's make bylaws. Now let's make regulations. They leave it open-ended. This is a situation in PF. The president of PF is the acting president, is suspended. He's now suspended. You go to MMD, the party president, Nevis Mumba, has been suspended. He's going around the country saying, there's no vacuum, there's no vacancy, I'm still president. It's a joke. And there are people, Nathan, who finally go into office and want to rule us. And that's why even when they go into office, they do unconstitutional things. Because they're not used to constitutions. They're not used to rules. And unfortunately, it's the culture here. The culture here is that rules are meant for those who are the conscious. The rest of everybody else can ignore them. That's the biggest problem we have. So now all these parties are having problems because of this. And I hope we will learn a lesson from it. When I joined the PF, for instance, and they appointed me chairman of elections, the first thing I asked for was the electoral regulations. And when they were given to me, 2 pages, I said, no, this can't be electoral regulations. So as a committee, we sat and wrote regulations. Currently, I've even been hearing guys quoting from our regulations. Because one of the things we put in place was, if you have a party job and you want to stand for election on a political post, you must resign. Now, I'll tell you nothing. Up to the moment I left MMD, those regulations were never adopted. They were always in the agenda, because there were so many other things we had suggested which kind of made people uncomfortable. But at least we tried to make regulations. And that's the weakness of all these parties, my friend. They just have constitutions.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that issue up, Gismat, and you and I, when we talked behind the scenes, that's the very reason that I wanted us to discuss this. In other words, the constitution itself is not sufficient. Is that what you're saying? There has to be bylaws and procedures. Is that right?
The constitution can't be sufficient. Even the Republican Constitution is not sufficient. The American Constitution is not sufficient. That's why they have laws after that. They kind of amplify the Constitution. So even that ends with the Constitution. For instance, in the MMP, the NEC, National Executive Committee, resolved to suspend the NEC.
Yes.
And they are relying on a provision in the Constitution that gives power to do that to any member. Are you with me?
So they're having
to say, oh, never a member of MMD. Because he's a member of MMD, we can discipline him. But, you know, there should have been a provision on how to deal with a president. So, then we can turn that around. And I think they are based on that. Never is a member, so they're quite disciplined.
Okay, Smart. Everybody listening, I actually asked for somebody to send me a copy of the MMD Constitution. Langoma, I don't know whether you've looked at it. I can send it to you. Everybody, Zebroni, Namunji here, Clotilda. Actually, very vague. It just says, but it doesn't even address the issue of going. I said to myself, you can't have a vague constitution like this. No wonder they are tossing each other around and pulling each other all over the place. The RB factors matter. The RB factor. I'm saying the RB factor, Rupiah Banda, he conceded when he lost in 2011. Announced retirement from active politics. What has changed?
Yes. Ah, You see, I actually had an opportunity to speak to him. And his observation of the last 3 years is what has provoked him to come out of retirement. Now, what is it against democratic rights? Are you listening? And even though people are arguing that, no, it's time for young people, it's time for young people. Listen, Kaunda was 40 years when we elected him. And we had to push him out of State House 31 years later. Francis Chiruba was 40 years, even back then. When I also was 52, all those three are younger than I am now. Can you imagine? So the issue of saying it's time for new generation doesn't behold. We have a problem with new generation. Is that they finish their two terms. What else will they do? So they want to manipulate the constitution so they continue going on and on and on and on. Why I'm comfortable with elderly statesmen is that when they want to lead and go on, and we cannot democratically remove them. We can call them death. Yeah, and it will do it for us.
You are raising a very contentious issue here. I'm saying you are raising a very young men are a problem. Okay, what is your issue with the new generation? And Smarta, when we are saying new generation, what are we saying in your opinion?
That's what I'm wondering. They have to define it. Because I think Chiruba was a new generation. I think Wanawasa was a new generation. Because if you take back the number of years at independence, people are young at independence. They must have been in their teens at that time. Yeah. Even the Arab in that independence was in their teens. So they're not in the Kaunda generation. It's Kota in a generation. They might be old now. But in any case, it's only 2 years. That's my view. It's only 2 years. And what we need right now in this country is someone who can quickly get on the job and bring back confidence into our economy. Oh, since we have come to a standstill, my friend. People are holding everything in their hands and wondering which way we are going. And somebody to crack it. And the major item on the agenda right now is constitution. And the rest of the economy is care and maintenance.
So to you, the issue of the age of the candidate doesn't arise?
Oh, no. In fact, I'm more worried about these young people taking over now. Because they'll spend the next 2 years campaigning for 2016, and nothing will happen.
You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're talking to Smarta. Smarta is giving us his perspective about the current political situation from the political party's constitutional position, because from what he has explained and shared, and I personally, before this show, read through the MMD constitution, it's vague, ladies and gentlemen. And I would like us to, I don't want to be selfish, I know a lot of people would like to shoot. You have raised very contentious issues, Matt, and I know people would like to ask questions. If you have called in, you have a question for Smarta, press 1 on your phone keypad so that I will know that you need to ask Smarta a question. Smarta, do you believe there is a cartel in Zambia? Somebody told me that's nonsense.
That's so crazy.
Huh?
Yes, there is a cartel in Zambia. There is a cartel. There is a cartel in Zambia.
What is that cartel?
And by the way, let me also say thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the privilege of asking that question. The cartel is actually operative. There's a godfather in Zambia who's using the cartel. Are you with me?
Mm.
So
we
the
are
cartel
listening.
Are just operative. Yeah. And in fact, that's one of the reasons I quit CS. When I saw the strength of the cartel on the management of CS, I said to myself, if the government, these guys will just run all over us. And they did. They who are responsible for a number of decisions, very important decisions in this country, especially in appointments. Appointments into the civil service, appointments into the judiciary, appointments into the diplomatic service, they were there. And right now, by the way, all are in charge. They're having lots of power broke.
Okay. There is a cartel. That's matter. Let's go to the phones. Area code 678, last four digits 6601. Your name and your question to Mr. Smarter, please. Okay, they are probably just listening. 3478852, is this Kletos?
What number is it, Nathan?
8852, is that you?
Oh, yeah, that's me. How are you doing, Nathan?
Good. Do you have a question for Smarter Kletos?
Mr. Smarter, I guess you're in Zambia.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Yes.
What's the political atmosphere like? Are you feeling, as we are feeling out here with my friend Nathan and the rest of the people in the diaspora, that our country is in a shaky position politically?
Well, the political atmosphere here depends. When you look at the business community, most of the foreign have kind of pulled back. Some of them even have gone to an extent of selling their assets so that they're from in the event that they struggle. When you look at the youth level, there's a lot of clashes. Even this afternoon, I went through Kavuranga going to Mtendere, when I found a clash between pro-Rupia and pro-Nevers youth. And they disrupted that entire area. It's happening in the PF, it's happening in MLD. There's a certainty, that's what I can put it. Everybody's hoping and praying for peace, but there's an uncertainty.
Before I go to New York again to Rasakala, the claims of foreign multinational companies is trying to influence the outcome of this election, Smarter, is that valid? Is that a valid concern?
There's a true rumor going around. True rumor going around. In other words, everybody, a number of people's lips. Now, it's a rumor. And what is causing it is simple. Some of the presidential aspirants have brought in equipment to try and help them in their campaign. So people are trying to then put two and two together. And also, this is where I stand. This is where I stand. I think the rumor is trying to de-campaign the victims of that rumor. So that they are seen not to have, they are seen to be puppets.
Okay, good. I like that answer. We are having a conversation with Smarter here, and I'm going to allow as many people as want to ask. That way we can offload things off our chest. New York again. Mr. Sakala, please go ahead. Yeah, Mashibuken. Okay, let's go to Pennsylvania. Dr. Munsanje, go ahead with your question.
Hello, Smarter. I always like to listen to Smarter. See the best information from not a political point of view. Smarter, I just want to ask you a direct question. I'm sure that you also value the constitution of any organization, which must be followed all the time. Now, in the PF situation, we have candidates like Mulenga Sata, former son of former President Sata. We have GBM, who his mother, I think, is South African. Mulenga Sata, his mother from Malawi. And Given Ilubinda. And they are all contesting the PF presidency. Don't those people respect the parentage clause, which was put by Frederick Chiluvo to bar Dr. Kaunda from contesting the 1996 election. We cannot be changing the rules in the middle of the game. Right now, that clause has to be observed, and I'm happy that the acting president, Guy Scott, is the only PF member who is observing the constitution. Your comment, please.
I'm a constitutionalist. That I can tell you. Those are the problems I also had in the Football Association of Zambia. It was about the constitution. We can't have rules in any form which are only going to be obeyed by those who have a conscience. And if those people you have just listed do not qualify, they should be removed. They should be struck out. They should be not debate. Or let them change that rule in accordance with the rules again. That's the only option left.
Two things this matter before I go to Canada here. Has it been proven that GBM, Mulenga, and Luvinda's parents are foreigners? I don't know which one of is. Has it been proven?
No, we have not seen any proof in the press or any other press. The proof we have in our hands is them forging their names to be considered. Yes. Mulenga Sata, GBM, actually it's four, Mulenga Sata, GBM, Luvinda, Edgar, they don't qualify, they should be struck out.
Okay.
But
you also mentioned
apparently that a judgment in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, finish your point.
Apparently there's a judgment in the Supreme Court that seems to favor them standing now. That is for legal minds. I don't even have an opinion here.
The other point I wanted you to address, which you mentioned responding to Dr. Monsange, is to change the rule within the rules. How can that be done in the middle of everything?
Well, the parliament has to be convened and then they change the constitution. And I think they need 2 thirds for that.
Okay. I see what you mean.
The PF will not be able to change it on their own. They'll have to cooperate with UPND and with MMD. And the question would be, why would the UPND or MMD cooperate with them?
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, we continue with our questions in our conversation with Mr. Simata. Roger in Canada, please go ahead.
Thank you, Nathan, and thank you, Simata. Who do you see emerging from the PF, and how do you like HH chances, looking at the way things are going?
Well, the PF, I'm a bit biased. I'm biased to the fact that I have a long relationship with GBM. So he's the one I would like to emerge out of there. But there are still issues around him. The guy said for HH, for me, as Maka, he can only comfortably win the Southern Province at the current moment. And therefore, if he wants to enhance his chances, he has to come into league with somebody. Either him running as president or him running as vice. But on his own, I don't see him taking it. Even with the weakest PF candidate.
Really?
Yeah. That's my opinion.
Smarter, what is it, to follow up on Roger's question, what is it with HH? What is the issue with HH?
number one, he did not and has not dealt with the perception of being a tribalist. Particularly when he took over UPND and in a democratic process, of course, but everybody kind of thought Sakwiba would take over. So the tribal element began to flow, but he has never attempted in any way to correct it. Fine, he has told the, you know, other tribes to join him as vice president and the rest. But he himself has not been seen to be talking about it or to refute it. He's just left it. To me, it's going to happen. Secondly, his goals. What is it that he wants to achieve for this country? Or the vision he's got? Even 2 weeks ago, when I heard him say something about street vendors, taxi drivers, I said to myself, whoa, he's out of... But you don't guess what you have to.
Okay.
This is the lesson most of these politicians did learn from Michael. 10 years, brother. He plowed on the same issue. Now, whether he fulfilled or not is not a discussion here. But everybody knew, kind of, that this is what this guy is believing in. More money in your pockets. Even what? But with UPND, a century, same problem of Nevers Mumba. This one, I'll tell you, it's the same problem of Nevers Mumba. Pump. They are not down to earth presidential candidates. They are not.
Okay. That is smarter for you. That's why we brought him here. We're having a conversation with Smarter. He's giving us a perception of the political situation on the ground in Zambia. Next Saturday, I'll be talking to Cesar Siwale, the managing director for Pangea. I hope that's how you say it. All of us have seen on social media and in the regular media about a business conference or convention they are going to host. And the founder of Virgin, that is Bronson, something like that, is one of the speakers. So Cesar will be talking to us about that conference. Let's try New York again. Vasakala, go ahead.
Manafan, good morning, and good morning, Mr. Smarter.
Good evening here, but good morning there, and good evening here.
And it am kwai. Are you from there and about politics? If you have a free And you talked about the constitution and the constitution being manipulated by the cartel. If there was the boss of the cartel who manipulated the constitution, the president would be number one. First, look at the way he appointed the chief justice. Up to now, the way he appointed the chief justice was against the constitution. And two, the insanity of the political parties. If the ECZ can be given some powers to discipline the political parties, that might be very good. And fine-tuning the constitution, which we are not following, it is like mwambo kuwamia musebo umatamupita. Marikwato musebo tamwenda mwelo mwambo kuwamia. It really makes me wonder. What do you think?
Okay.
When you are watching the game, you are able to sort out the problem. But when you are in the game, it's very difficult to point out the problem. I know you are a politician, and what we are seeing now, were you not seeing them then? And another thing is, people have lost confidence in politicians. When you talk about a politician, what comes in the mind of people is kabolala or thieves. Of people want to accumulate wealth to themselves. What do you think should be done to Zambia so that people can still have confidence in the politician, that when the politician to do things for us? What would you do? And what's your answer on my questions? Thank you.
Okay, Henry, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let me start from the bottom. For Zambians, and Africans in general to start respecting constitution or rules depend on the quality of leadership that we put in office.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take our eyes off the fact that where they are coming from, they have no rules, and then we elect them, we are perpetuating the matter. Secondly, the ECZ has enough powers to discipline any political party or any offender on electoral rules. In my view, what they don't have is guts to do it.
Mm.
They are too concerned about their welfare. They are afraid that they will upset somebody. But the law is very clear. The law is very clear in the way it has given them the authority. That is, again, the Council of Africa, Zambia in particular. Institutions are weak. Institutions depend on personality. That's the biggest problem. So we may even have the right tools, but now nobody to implement them. So we then need to move to that next stage where we have people that are willing to implement the rules. At any peril.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
The cartel is not interested in the politics of Zambia for reasons. It's for their businesses. The many offenses they have created, they would rather have someone in State House that will turn a blind eye to their theft, to their manipulation of the economy, and everything else that they are doing. So they are not interested in politics. Even if they're from another party, if they think he's winning, they will crowd him and try and get a hold of him. And in fact, in recent times, the only president they didn't have a hold on is Rupiah Banda. That I can tell you. That's the only president.
Roger, did you hear that?
Stephen, I heard and I agree with Simata. This is what we were saying in the morning. The cartel in Zambia exists and it is there live and well. The people who are fighting them, this is why they are so scared to let Guy Scott to continue to do what he's doing, because they want to install their own person. And this is why I'm agreeing with the Lungus of this world and on the other side. The cartel should not have influence. Court should have nothing to do with our country. I don't know if Sumata agrees with me, with what I'm thinking.
Yeah, very true. In fact, they are operating in more than one party now. And we hear rumors.
Okay, let's allow a lady to speak. Namunji, please go ahead.
Ah, good morning, Vanakan.
Good morning.
Very interesting. Good evening, Wasmata. It's very interesting.
Good evening, madam.
Good evening. I don't have any question for Mr. Smata. It's just a one or two contribution. There are a number of things which he has said which I agree with him. The first thing is the generation problem, the youth, the crisis in the country right now where leadership is concerned. I also don't agree in the generation thing. Actually, they're even bringing more confusion. I posted something on your Facebook. The young people we have right now, they have a Sangwapo mentality. When I say a Sangwapo mentality, it's like you can see even HH. Right now it looks like H. I'm not too sure because I'm not in Zambia, but here in Diaspora, it looks like HH is a front runner. I'm not too sure because I'm seeing a lot of the youth, the young people on Facebook, they're throwing their support behind HH. When I read the statement which some of these people are putting even on Facebook, it doesn't even agree with the manifesto, the constitution for UPND. They don't educate themselves to read the manifesto and the constitution before they come on with things like the social media to say all these things. When I look at them, I'm like, oh my goodness, because the youth don't want to educate themselves. So it's a Sangwapo mentality. So it's a crisis. I'd rather have an old man who has wisdom and who knows what he's doing to leave the country. Then coming to the party, there's a crisis of leadership right now. There is no party which is promising. Let me just touch on HH. I'm not supporting any party, but he's not addressing the tribalism thing. People have been talking about this tribalism, but he's avoiding it. There's no way he can avoid it. Right now, it may not look like it's not a big deal, but in the other parts of the country, it's a big deal, especially in Western Province. The way the issue of Scotta Sakwiva, the way they handled Scotta Sakwiva, they literally manhandled that man, pushed him, the PND card, the Tongan. Some tribalistic lies were used against him. So HH needs to come out and address the issue of tribalism. Right now, a lot of people, they're not comfortable with UPND when it comes to that. I don't know why he's avoiding it. I don't know why he's not addressing it. So meanwhile, it's the party which looks like it's the party which is looking like it has momentum at this moment. But literally, there's a mess where leadership is concerned in the country. There's a big crisis. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Namunji. Smarta, before you respond, let me allow another lady to say something or ask a question before we wind up the day. Clotilda, please go ahead.
Mine is a very short question. Who is the leader of the cartel? Who's the godfather?
Okay. Did you hear the question, Smarta?
Yes, I am. I am putting the name because I'm in court with him.
Okay. So, respond. Okay. You want to respond to the comment that Namunji made? You don't want to mention names on the cartel. Okay.
I've answered you.
Okay, we've heard. I'm saying you don't have any comment on what Namunji said.
No, I agree with you totally. I agree totally with her. And these are issues that you leave behind that they come to haunt you. For example, before I go, you know what? When Dr. Nevas Mumba won the MMD presidency, in spite of all the barriers he created around himself, I still forced my way through to go and see him. And the major item I brought before his attention was that, Ghana, the MMD constitution is very weak. It has too many gaps. And it was tailored for a party in government. Now that you're coming to opposition, it should be your first item. Amend this thing. Change it. Can you imagine? It doesn't even give power like the PF constitution to the president. Nevas was a sitting duck. And I get to remember, change this constitution. You must get executive power, otherwise you'll have problems. When he had the first rebellion, I went back to him. I said, do you see what I was talking about? These people can only do that because of this constitution. If you are a Republican president, they won't raise that voice. You're going to be afraid of your Republican power. Your constitution is weak. He never did anything about it. 2 years. It has now come.
Smarta, where do you see the nation going from here after this? Of course, the issue of having elections 90 days after the president dies, that's a constitutional matter. It's a bunch of nonsense. It needs to be corrected. Waste of money for a small economy like ours. Where do we go from here? What do you think needs to happen in this situation?
Well, the Republican constitution definitely needs to be visited. But I have problems with that idea of the running mate.
Okay.
But I'm further strengthened in my fear by what happened in Malawi.
So you think in Zambian situation it wouldn't work?
I don't think so, Mwana.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think the easiest one is simply to say the vice president of the sitting president will pick his term. Now, how that vice president comes about can be left to either the parties or the president themselves. So running mate, The moment the president wins the weather in Africa, he'll be falling sick the following week.
do you think?
But that's where the problem is. And if you, the president himself will be holding his country with a lot of suspicion. Government won't work.
Do you think a coalition between MMD and UPND can work?
Yes. The biggest problem there is right now is who to lead it. Because UPND believes there are four frontliners right now. MMD is weak, so MMD should come behind them. MMD believes that it is still very strong. It is out there in the grassroots. It has more MPs than the UPND. Therefore, each candidate should come to the top, and then HH comes as vice. Now, here's my theory. If they accept RB's, MMD's RB to be the front runner, and HH comes in as a fifth, they could easily strip this election.
You think so?
Oh, yes, sir. You see, because both of them have two bases. It has a southern base, Arabi has the eastern base. It does not wash the eastern. Now, any other candidate who comes will have to find a base. Where? Because even the PF candidates, when you look at them very closely, by the way, you shouldn't forget. Here, it's still about base, where you are coming from. If they had Wafula behind him, when I was at the central province behind him, you can't pretend. Now, candidates who have got Lusaka and Copper Belt behind them, they find themselves in problems. Lusaka and Copper Belt are enlightened. They listen to the radio, they read the newspapers. For instance, DBM, in my view, has the northern province behind him. You got the point?
Now, Smata, you've mentioned RRB being strong in Eastern, HH can win Southern, GBM can win Northern. It already brings in tribalistic tendencies.
I don't like pretending. Our politics are still tribal.
Yes, they are.
I will not pretend here with you that we got nationalistic candidates. We are still tribal. All you have to do is look at the election results as they have come out from 1964. Look at that. So there's a sense of wako ni wako. It's there. Let's not deny it. Maybe our children will raise them in English so they understand democracy the way. Our parents didn't have democracy in their language. It's a new thing.
Yeah,
so they equated to say a chief and the rest. So I will not deny that fact. But
really,
sometimes we vote like that. And that's why it is won.
That's right. Smarter.
Especially
thank you.
Past the post kind of arrangement.
We've run out of time, my friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I'm enjoying talking to all of you. And good morning.
Thanks for giving us some things to think about and just laying things on the table. Ladies and gentlemen, Smarter, he never fails to deliver. Join us next week. We'll be talking to Caesar about the upcoming business convention. For those in America, happy Thanksgiving. Chifukwa lelo, bantu bonse basobesa ulemu. Atate imwe. Ayelele mama.
tena vintu vingachinde tingankale osangalala zuva ingatoke talema na pepo apena mbale wanga azazi wakuti akula azazi otawa mavuto alimumanja mwake kapena zaziva kuti afuniko limba chifukwa ni mwamuna afuniko butikila banja kuti ni bambo wa nyumba elo asatae wana siunga ziwe aza kutunga kusogoro.